Harry did not answer. Fortunately, they got out at the next stop, a station in the very heart of London, and in the bustle of leaving the train he was able to allow Fred and George to get between himself and Tonks, who was leading the way. They all followed her up the escalator, Moody clunking along at the back of the group, his bowler tilted low and one gnarled hand stuck in between the buttons of his coat, clutching his wand. Harry thought he sensed the concealed eyes staring hard at him, trying to deflect more questions about his dream. He asked Mad-Eye where St. Mungo's was hidden. "Not far from here," grunted Moody as they stepped out into the wintry air on a broad store-lined street packed with Christmas shoppers. He pushed Harry a little ahead of him and stumped along just behind. Harry knew the eye was rolling in all directions under the tilted hat. "Wasn't easy to find a good location for a hospital. Nowhere in Diagon Alley was big enough, and we couldn't have it underground like the ministry. Unhealthy. In the end, they managed to get hold of a building up here. Theory was, sick wizards could come and go and just blend in with the crowd." He seized Harry's shoulder to prevent them being separated by a gaggle of shoppers, plainly intent on nothing but making it into a nearby shop full of electrical gadgets.
"Here we go," said Moody a moment later.
They had arrived outside a large, old-fashioned, red-brick department store called Purge and Dows Limited. The place had a shabby, miserable air. The window displays consisted of a few chipped dummies with their wigs askew, standing at random and modelling fashions at least 10 years out of date. Large signs on all the dusty doors read, "Closed for refurbishment." Harry distinctly heard a large woman, laden with plastic shopping bags, say to her friend as they passed,
"It's never open, that place." "Right," said Tonks, beckoning them forward to a window displaying nothing but a particularly ugly female dummy whose false eyelashes were hanging off and who was modelling a green nylon pinafore dress. "Everybody ready?"
They nodded, clustering around her. Moody gave Harry another shove between the shoulder blades to urge him forward, and Tonks leaned close to the glass, looking up at the very ugly dummy, and said, her breath steaming up the glass,
"Watcha! We're here to see Arthur Weasley."
For a split second, Harry thought how absurd it was for Tonks to expect the dummy to hear her talking that quietly through a sheet of glass, when there were buses rumbling along behind her and all the racket of a street full of shoppers. Then he reminded himself that dummies could not hear anyway. Next second, his mouth opened in shock as the dummy gave a tiny nod, beckoned its jointed finger, and Tonks had seized Ginny and Mrs. Weasley by the elbows, stepped right through the glass, and vanished. Fred, George and Ron stepped after them. Harry glanced around at the jostling crowd. Not one of them seemed to have a glance to spare for window displays as ugly as Purge and Dow's Limited's, nor did any of them seem to have noticed that six people had just melted into thin air in front of them.
"Come on," growled Moody,
giving Harry yet another poke in the back, and together they stepped forward through what felt like a sheet of cool water, emerging quite warm and dry on the other side. There was no sign of the ugly dummy or the space where she had stood. They had arrived in what seemed to be a crowded reception area, where rows of witches and wizards sat upon rickety wooden chairs, some looking perfectly normal and perusing out-of-date copies of Witch Weekly, others sporting gruesome disfigurements such as elephant trunks or extra hands sticking out of their chests. The room was scarcely less quiet than the street outside, for many of the patients were making very peculiar noises. A sweaty-faced witch in the centre of the front row, who was fanning herself vigorously with a copy of the Daily Prophet, kept letting off a high-pitched whistle as steam came pouring out of her mouth, and a grubby-looking warlock in the corner clanged like a bell every time he moved, and with each clang his head vibrated horribly so that he had to seize himself by the ears and hold it steady. Witches and wizards in lime-green robes were walking up and down the rows, asking questions and making notes on clipboards like umbrages. Harry noticed the emblem embroidered on their chests, a wand and bone, crossed. "Are they doctors?" he asked Ron quietly.
"Doctors?" said Ron, looking startled. "Those muggle nutters that cut people up? Nah, they're healers.